All right, good people. As always, thank you for listening and hitting that play button. Be sure to tell your friends about this podcast. Give us a rating if you haven't. If you're new here, hit the subscribe button and hit us up on social media at Coming Clean Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
And if you don't have friends, we'll be your friend.
Yes. It's episode 59, The Rise, The Fall.
Nice.
And The Rise. When this plays, there it is.
Hi, this is Alex M.
And this is Morgan S.
And you're listening to Coming Clean Podcast with Sam and Marty.
Can I get down like this?
This is Coming
Clean Podcast.
With Sam and Marty.
Hello, welcome, happy Friday. This is the Coming Clean Podcast, the number one podcast about MTV's Laguna Beach, The Hills, and Siesta Key. It's Friday, so that means we are talking all about The Hills. As always, I am the bro that runs the show. My name is Marty, and with me as always...
He's a big boy.
The biggest boy I know.
Is officially made through sober January.
It's Were you Sam really doing that?
Yeah, and I'm proud of myself. Very difficult.
Jabroni!
Oh.
Congrats, I guess.
Yeah, my body is fully cleansed. My temple is pure.
Until you, do...
Yeah, until things. Probably tomorrow. So.
Well, I mean, yes. There you go. No, it's only Thursday. Come on. Give it till the Super Bowl.
I mean, tomorrow's there's a happy hour, so when the opportunity knocks.
All right. Hey, you do you, man, but we got to do some headlines.
The Hills headlines.
All right, we missed the headline last week. Special shout out to good friend of the podcast for letting us know that we missed it again. This is, she's like our fact checker. The second or third time?
This is the second time. And, just when, how does the news get they get their news articles from anonymous tips. So don't we.
We have our own version of TMZ out on the streets, and they let us know. They're all waiting at the airports. They're all over at John Wayne Airport just waiting for them, even though half of them already live elsewhere.
Hey, we got our moles everywhere.
Well, better get that checked, man. Hey-o. Coming in hot this week. But yeah, what did we miss last week, Sam?
Well, we missed that Casey, I think, Reinhardt. She was in season 2. Her in...
She was the Merelda. Rich friend.
She was the one who had all the quesadillas at her cool house.
Correct.
She just had her second child. Imelda.
Yeah. Well, how many children?
I think this is her second child.
Do we know if her husband is the same one? What do you call it? The prom date?
Not totally positive. I should look into this.
Yeah, you know what? Let's just say yes.
We don't check facts. We just Doug Reinhardt. Oh, Doug, that's what? Her brother. That's weird. Sean Brown. No clue who that guy is. She got married in 2006.
All right, she's Casey Brown now on Instagram. She runs her own cupcake place. Etc. I'm trying to get to the messages of our page so we can give a proper shout out.
Give me 2 seconds. This is riveting.
Yeah,
riveting.
Great. You can see we're very prepared as my computer lags. So if you find it before me, I just want to make sure we're giving the proper shout out for the anonymous tip. Shout out to Allison. There you go. My bad. We're by the third time we miss, or fourth time we miss another headline, she's going to let us know, and she's going to be a part of the show. She's our stat checker.
Oh, it turns out she had Sarah Bareilles at her wedding.
Like, as a friend or to sing?
I have no idea, but she sang a song at her wedding.
Oh. Wow. I wish I had that kind of friend.
Pretty impressive.
Well, at your wedding, I won't be able to bring anyone famous.
Okay.
I'll play a track.
Or it's going to be like, I don't know, who's not important.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, congrats to Casey. It took us a good 5 minutes to stall until we found our friend Allison. But shout out to you, Allison, for having our back as always.
And you know what? If you bring us another tip out of nowhere, maybe you could get some merch.
Oh.
Where can we find that, Marty?
Well, y'all can find that at teespring.com/stores. Don't forget that S at the end. /ComingCleanPod. Special campaigns running right now. If you buy our logo t-shirts, proceeds of that will be going to the Drew Project, drewproject.org. You can listen to our CS the Key episode 58 from earlier this week to get all the details from that. And you can still get the squad t-shirts from Laguna. And of course, if you have any suggestions or if there's any designers out there that want to contribute ideas or designs, hit us up at Coming Clean Pod. But now we have wasted a lot of time. Not the most efficient episode, but we're going to catch up. And now let's go over the highlights of which episode? Season 2, Episode 11, Everyone Falls. Poop.
The Hills Highlights.
So my co-host has taken some liberties on our Google Doc.
Just like Ron Burgundy, he reads everything.
All right, so let's start off. So there's really two big storylines happening on this one. They've separated the cast a little bit. Before they were a little bit more intertwined. Now we get a specific Lauren side, Lauren Teen Vogue side, and Heidi Spencer side. Let's start off with a little lighter note. So let's talk about Lauren, you know, being a pretty good friend to Whitney, being her wing lady at the office when it comes to grabbing opportunities, because it's something that Whitney wants. She's been working there for a long time.
Five years as an intern.
Yep. So she's graduating now. Either she's a fifth year senior or she was interning since she was a senior in high school.
Or maybe she like transferred somewhere and she's been, I mean,
she redshirted.
For all intents and purposes, like, it's pretty solid that she's been interning for 5 years. Like,
yes.
If you've been interning your whole college career and then classes and then mm-hmm. trying to graduate, maybe she was on a 5-year plan.
Right.
If she was also interning.
Yeah, maybe she got like the sort of combo, you get a master's if you stick for the 5th year, something like that.
Yeah.
We're not sure. We don't do a lot of research. Kayfabe only. So, my question here that we should answer. We're sticking with the question format until we hear otherwise from the crew because we're liking this. So in her search for opportunities, do you think she is approaching this the right way? This is our forte because it's office talk and that's basically our lives outside of the show.
I mean, I think it's really impressive that, you know, she's sticking her neck out there. She's reaching out to the appropriate people, like mm-hmm. the high ups, and seeing what's out there, what's available. If she's, you know, get the feedback that is she right for the job, she wants to figure out the future, she still wants to be seems with in this industry, and whether she's cut out, she wants that feedback, and she's really pushing the envelope to get there, and with some perks along the way of being able to show off her, you know, she never thought she would be a model, right. But turns out she's getting an opportunity.
Yeah, so I mean, just the fact that she did stick around Teen Vogue, that they kept her around Teen Vogue
for 5 years
as an intern.
Yeah.
I mean, even being in one company these days, you know, us millennials can't stick around on a regular job for 5 years. Longest I did was, well, you've been there for a long time,
Six.
More than 5 years. Yeah.
Six.
Longest I've done was maybe almost four years, and that's including an internship and a regular job. So, you know, that's not easy. And she's getting the opportunity. She's asked for it. Lisa definitely seems to be on her side. And, you know, I think she's playing it perfectly. She asked for the opportunity, and when they gave it to her, she took it. Yep. With a little bit of a slip along the way. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that for those who forget?
Sure. So this episode is like one of the top ones that when people talk about the Hills, they're like, oh, do you remember when Whitney fell on? So it was for Good Morning America. It was showing, I believe, Oscar fashion throughout the years. And High Level, there was basically the guy who's just below Anna Wintour. Andre was on Good Morning America, explained the fashions, basically discovers Whitney as she's interning, helping out with the project, and he asks her to wear Hillary Swank dress with the open back, long sleeves, very, very well known. As she's walking down the steps, gets the last steps, takes a tumble, not a full slip, right. Like more like a squat-ish fall.
Yep.
She was able to recover, smile with grace, but completely mortified.
Yeah, so definitely a traumatizing moment, especially if it's your first time on TV. You know, that's just...
Yeah, I mean, they called her, like, intern at Teen Vogue, Whitney, right. Like, now her name's on there. And at the time, I remember this being, like, a big deal. Like, I vaguely remember seeing it on Good Morning America and then, like, watching this, and I was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe she fell on live TV. Like,
right, because this is already... Especially since this is season two, she has her name out there.
Yeah,
this is between seasons because this airs March, so that happened about a month. This episode aired about a month before that, so we really got no context as this was happening.
Yeah, we just knew somebody fell on Good right. Morning America, not realizing it was like, I don't know if I realized it was Whitney at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was mentioned.
You're just like rocking, watching Good Morning America at home.
not these days, but
no, yeah. I mean, in high school, I just remember,
or like seeing on the news, like right. It was like a thing, like yeah, it was a big issue. But now, like looking back on like the what actually happened, it didn't seem that crazy in the episode.
Like yeah, I feel like there was more stumble.
Yeah, and I feel like it was more drama in the episode.
Right.
But watching it now, I was like, oh, she just kind of fell. Like it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
Or a surprise for
me. She kind of just like fell off frame for like a couple of seconds and then
got. Yeah, she just like dropped down.
Yep. So if I can be a little immature for a little bit, Emily mentioned that, hey, at least you didn't like fall flat on your face, like completely.
Yeah.
Number one, would have been hilarious. Or the other one that Audrina mentioned, she was like, oh, what if you fell? And then everyone just started falling like dominoes. Even more hilarious.
You took everybody down.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. That would have been that. Like Whitney would still have a TV show right now if that was happening. She would be like a real housewife of something, or was like on one of Surreal Life. That's what I was thinking.
Well, at least she was able to move on and like get past this whole ordeal.
Yeah,
because I mean, eventually this sets up for Whitney in the city, and they're definitely. Mm-hmm. At the end, she gets a lot of congratulations and like acknowledgement, like, oh, don't worry, like it happens all the time. Right. From Anna Wintour sends a phone call, she gets a handwritten letter, or not a handwritten, maybe probably typed. I mean, probably the assistant typed that and sends it out to everybody.
Right.
But she at least is now in the running. She has the chance to go to New York City, interview for the role, and see how it goes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, shout out to Teen Vogue. That's a really great. Like, as much pressure as they have in the working environment in that industry, that's a really supportive group for like, all the way up to the executive office to back your intern like that and really encourage her. So that's, like, really cool of them. And
yeah.
I personally wasn't expecting it from them. They're like, whatever, like, it's no big deal. I thought it was just going to be like that to make her feel better, but they really went above and beyond. So shouts to Lisa and the crew there.
Yeah, I mean, if I fell at work, I don't see the CEO and like the global CEOs telling me, oh, it happens all the time. People fall. I don't know. I mean, maybe some people need some tough love.
They know you're just trying to collect workman's comp. Like, he's trying to slip again. Like, why does he keep coming in with paint buckets and ladders?
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever I see a ladder, I try climbing it, and it never works out.
So I stick the landing every time.
My carpal tunnel is starting to sink in.
But yeah, and if anyone slips in my office, I'm whipping out the camera and yelling, "World Star!" For content.
I mean, the chances of somebody slipping in outside your office is probably high. I'm assuming there's a lot of ice.
Yes. The weather here in Minnesota has been... I know the Northeastern people coming in from the Super Bowl are used to it, but this is just a whole different ballgame of cold.
Even the East Coast people, I don't think they understand how cold it is there.
I didn't. I thought I was like, oh, I can deal with this. Yeah. We're going off topic a little bit here, but just to set the context, as those watching the video version see Sam in his little blanket there.
Very chill.
Yeah, check us out on YouTube. Just search Coming Clean Podcast. But yeah, I mean, just walking outside in quote unquote, feels like minus 25 degrees. It hurts to breathe. Like, you feel the inside of your body freezing. And just no amount of, like, yeah, I've been wearing a lot of Under Armour, just like doubling up Under Armour thermals.
Yeah, you need those. You need those thermal long johns.
Yes, but yeah, where's my drop? We're going off track here.
That is crazy. You're going off track.
Maybe you're the problem.
No, we are all problems here. But speaking of problems, I have a problem.
Okay.
So
speak your mind.
So they bring Emily back, right?
Yeah. Emily.
Yeah, Super Emily per Elsie. And for those who don't remember, she was here late last season, in season one, as a New York intern, helping out one of the events that Teen Vogue had. She basically bodied and flexed all over Whitney and Elsie because she's very type A. She's very well put together, has all her ducks in a row, basically the power intern, everything you would want from an intern. She is really, and I know we're kayfabe only, but it's a little bit obvious that just the cuts of her face when Andre was talking about how Whitney should be a model, and they cut to Emily,
and she's like,
making like huffing and puffing and making like mad faces. She's being portrayed obviously as the villain when number one, I don't even think she is a direct threat to. Or her and Whitney are direct competitors or threats to each other. And number two, she also was on the TV segment.
Yeah.
So they're like equal.
Yeah. No, and they're in two different like states.
Right.
Unless like it's only one intern, like one intern gets hired for like the whole like country.
Yeah. And if they're good enough, they'll find a spot for both of them.
Exactly. Like this is I understand like the whole. I guess the fashion industry is very cutthroat and whatnot, but still, like, if somebody has talent, like, you find a way to keep somebody.
And you're working under Lisa pretty much directly, so she clearly has a lot of pull. So yeah, she seems like she's being portrayed and the way she's acting as someone who's super fair, and if you're good enough, she'll find a way to keep you around, either, you know, hey, maybe like spend like four more months as an intern, but we'll pay you more or something like that. And then we can get you in once the job opens up. But yeah, I
don't get why Elsie's so threatened by her. Like,
yeah,
maybe you should. I mean, like, you probably work fine, but like maybe you should work harder and be like Emily. I don't know.
Once again, it's the whole control thing again. I just don't think.
Well, that's why she wanted Whitney to be the head of the win the position. Be the head of the interns.
Right, because you didn't want to work for Emily. But also, she seemed sort of, when Whitney mentioned the job description over breakfast or lunch, whatever they were doing at the end of the episode, I saw a little flinch from LC, like, wait, so you're saying you're going to be my boss?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, whether, like, at first she didn't want that to happen, or and then she realized that it was like
walked it back
idea.
Yeah I thought at first she was like, wait, what, now I have to report into you? And so, number one, she has like four more years of experience than you, so yes, it just makes sense. And then, yeah, she walks it back when she was like, oh, wait, bad thing to say to a friend who's clearly qualified for the job. And, you know, the alternative is Emily, which, you know, I wouldn't mind reporting under either of them. They're both super responsible. They've been trained by the best.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just looked at Whitney's only 1 year older than LC, and she already has 4 more years of experience than her.
Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, it's not like, so Emily gets there and she wasn't even like the first episode. She was clearly like, yo, I'm the best one here. And yeah, like I said, flexing all over the place. But this time she was kind of just chill.
No, yeah, she didn't. I mean, was she late to work? I don't know. She seemed like she, or she just came on like on the red eye.
Right.
And like just had to come right from work. But you know, she seemed off her game. She seemed like she was very flustered when she got there.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but yeah, I don't agree that of the portrayal of Emily. I think they're making her
seem darn right rude.
Yeah, agreed. I think I have a drop for that.
How rude.
Wow, that was rude.
Yeah, it was rude. So yeah, okay, so moving on from LC and Whitney, we are back to Spencer and Heidi talking about moving in, which has been the issue for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, and it's been an issue in their reality for only a month.
Yes, correct. So we're pretty much tracking real time here, and it's getting as annoying to me as it is looking like for both of them. But Spencer sort of sets an ultimatum here. He was trying to play it cool, but then he was like, no, okay. And also I have a theory, but give your take. Is he pushing too hard here?
I think he is pushing too hard. Like when you ask once, he said he's only been talking about it for a month.
Right.
And we've gone over this whole lease situation, blah, blah, right, blah. Right. Like maybe he's just, it seems like maybe he's just crashing at Brody's place for free and he could just probably leave whenever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about Heidi, but I think he is going a little too hard in the situation. Like maybe back off and let it ride out for a little bit. Give Heidi that space to be with LC, and maybe hopefully eventually Heidi figures out that, you know, maybe LC is growing apart as well. Whereas he's pushing very hard to like keep separated from LC, keep Heidi away from her, and yeah, get him to move in together.
Yeah, what's weird for me is he seems to be of the mindset of now or never. And it's mm-hmm. not like Heidi saying, well, I need like a year or two. She's like, can you give it a couple months? Like,
yeah,
a couple months is not that long. And if she's hanging out at your place and you're like half the time anyway, that's like not that bad. It's not like they're actually dating long distance, unless she's in West Hollywood and he's in like Silver Lake or something where it's like a trek. Shouts to my Silver Lake hipsters. Thank you for listening. But yeah, I do think he is pushing too hard. And my theory is, I know we've praised Spencer a lot.
Yep.
And this is the beginning.
This wasn't the best look.
Yeah, I think this is the beginning of villain Spencer. And my theory is that the villainous wrath and trajectory of Spencer is directly related to the growth of his flesh-colored beard. Because this week was the debut of the flesh-colored beard.
I didn't notice because it's flesh color. Yeah, I couldn't see.
It took a while. Good thing, you know, my MacBook has that Retina display, and I was like, oh, it's coming in. Yeah. He got the peach fuzz going, and he's
because the way after when Heidi said no, and he's like, just get out of my car.
Oh, yeah. Hell out of my car. Or she, yeah.
Sped away. I think it was like, get out of my car, and she's like, I hate this car.
Yeah. I hate this stupid car or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, no, well, yeah, she was like, well, my answer is no. And he was like, well, my answer is get out of my car. It's like, wow, real mature, dude.
Then he sped off. And I love the sound effects of him like driving up a hill. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. At first, when she like walked in front of the car, I thought he was like going to just jerk it.
Yeah. Or honk the horn.
Yeah. I mean, classic. In that situation, you know, Heidi just take. Go behind the car. Just don't risk it. You know.
Never know.
Yeah, you'll never know. what was the other thing I was going to bring up? Oh, I'll save it for...
their trust?
About what?
about their trust.
Yeah, that was weird. So they were arguing in the car.
Yep.
And Heidi just
brings up a good point.
Really? Go ahead.
I think that's a good point that she brings up of she doesn't want to have a situation like until he – I mean the situation of him and the playmate, which she brought up, mm-hmm. only was like 1 or 2 months ago. So maybe mm-hmm. she's like trying to tell him like, all right, like once you finally get over this and – it's hard for her to forgive and forget, apparently, of this situation. So it's like a best for to give him time, like maybe let it go 3 or 4 months and like show that you fully focus on this. Like a month isn't that long.
Right. So I'm with you through that. Okay. My issue is her leap in logic when she says you're doing this so that you have an out so you can like just mingle with all the single people. And then he calls her out on it. He's like, what? So I am trying to get you to move in with me and spend more time with me because I want to cheat on you. It's like, it's a little bit, it's a little much. I know she's flustered and there's a lot going on and there's a ton of pressure on both.
Well, the only thing I could think of is that if she is fully committed to him, that it's like, it's closer to him. And then she might put her guard down and he can still do what he was doing prior.
Right. My other question is, so Elsie has been brought up a lot in their arguments. Spencer has really been using her as like the case study of why Heidi has to leave and the reason why she doesn't want to move in with him. So she's basically the scapegoat in this situation. Does he have a point or is he just sort of deflecting a different issue?
See, in that context, I think it's wrong that he's using Elsie as like a reason why for her to move out, and that he thinks that she's separate. Like, you know, I feel like in his mind that him and Heidi are perfect soulmates, which clearly they probably are. Mm-hmm. That they're like meant to be together, like 100%. Spencer and Heidi, Spidey all day, and Elsie drives a wedge in that. However. That seems like coming from an interesting place where it's like it's tough to force somebody to break up with a friendship that they've probably known longer in this situation.
Yeah, it's. I think.
And I don't think Elsie like it's not a he's it's using Elsie as a defense mechanism,
right?
That I don't think is necessary.
I think both of them are. Both of them, by that I mean Spencer and Elsie, have been really unfair to Heidi because they're just using each other to get Heidi back instead of just saying, look, I have an issue with the other person. I mean, hang out with them all you want, but I'm just not going to hang out when both of you are there. It could be as simple as that. We brought this up last week. Like, for Elsie, you know, if they do end up moving in together, hang out once a week. Hang out once a month. Like, coffee and lunch won't kill you.
I just wonder what we don't see that's like going on in the behind the scenes.
Right. Yeah.
That is keeping like Spencer constantly angry at Elsie.
Kayfabe only. Kayfabe. So right now, I know. I was irrational. But so my whole thing with Spencer is too, he's just so stubborn that he gets an idea in his head and it's his way or the highway. He gets this tunnel vision. And he'll just pretty much just grab anything at anything he can to be able to convince her. And he thinks that the sooner he can drive that wedge between Elsie and Heidi, the sooner he can just have Heidi to himself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Not a fan of his on this one.
We'll see. The flesh-colored beard is a good point.
Yes, so we'll track the flesh-colored beard. I know people have been missing our theories and laws, and it's not a law yet, but I'm going to say the theory of the flesh-colored beard is now official.
Wow. made it there. Yeah. I mean, we only have one law and one law only at the moment, and I don't think that could ever be surpassed, but
Agreed.
We might have a new one.
So anything else you want to bring up on this episode?
No, I think that was better. We flushed it out pretty well.
Right. I have one thing, and it's more of a production thing. I'm just realizing, especially now that we're doing Siesta Key simultaneously as we're doing this.
Yep.
The what looks to be now, if you show the hills and the establishing shots to, you know, like a teenager, like, and I'm talking like 13, 14-year-old, they're going to think that a lot of these overhead shots of like the Hollywood Hills and all that are like drone shots. And these are like legit crane shots or helicopter shots. Like, it took a lot of work to do that.
Yeah.
And now you got like some freaking 19-year-old with a remote control making
just flying
beautiful
around
seascapes of CSC Key. I'm just comparing it. It blows my mind how quickly everything has happened, especially now that you're seeing technology on the hills where we're at right now, sort of catching up to modern days. Because Spencer is up to the white MacBook.
Oh, okay.
The plastic one. So we're at that point in technology. The phones are still a little behind. I think I still had a clamshell phone or like an LG.
Yeah, I definitely had a Crazer.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably had like an LG Envy or something around the time. So the phones are a little, maybe a couple years behind, but
I don't think I got my not-so-smartphone until
the touchscreen.
Like sophomore. Yeah, the fake touchscreen.
Yeah, where, like the most advanced thing it could do is play Tetris.
Yep. And it wasn't really, it was like a touchscreen, but it wasn't like intuitive where I could like slide things around. I could just press on a touchscreen.
It was probably just like a keyboard under the glass.
Yeah. It was like a calculator flat. There were no buttons.
Yeah. But and we're also starting to see a lot more flat screen TVs in the living room. So I'm like, oh, okay. So we're officially back to the modern age now. Yeah. I'm just remembering even as early as when we were talking about Laguna and we were like, what the hell are the things in their houses? It looked like museums. Did I say museums? Damn it.
Oh, I always get that wrong. I have no idea.
Museums. There's no A in museums. Let us know at Coming Clean Pod. Museums. All right. Let's move on from this to the segment that's unwritten by first crowning our MVP of the week. Clap
your hands with me. It's the MVP.
MVP
of the week.
Say right up, yes. All right, who gets your praise this week?
I'm going to praise intern Emily.
Ooh, interesting. Jesus.
One, out of just spite, and then two...
out of spite? Could you
two,
elaborate?
Two, she was able to walk on GMA, didn't fall down. She's going to be also interning for the same position. And I don't know, I just wasn't feeling LC or Heidi. I mean, I feel bad for Whitney, but I mean, she fell down.
Right, that's a jabroni tough move.
That's a jabroni move, right. Yeah. Jabroni's so trip. It's tough.
Yeah.
You know, do you know who stood strong? Emily.
Mm-hmm.
She even had a handrail. So she actually.
Oh, true. Smart.
I give some points to Whitney because she didn't have a handrail. Right. So that's kind of tough. But
I mean, hey, she was wearing those Manolo flats. You were in flats, dude.
Was she?
That's what they were pairing, at least the scene that they were trying on the dresses. Because Andre said the shoes, the stilettos that. They were wearing,
been too high.
Yeah, were did not match the dress, and she said, "Well, what about the Manolo flats?" And they were like, "Because she was like, it comes in every color," and that's how he noticed her. I'm gonna give it to Lisa.
Wow,
for the reasons I mentioned earlier, it seems like she has fostered a good working environment for the people around there, and you know,
for the teens.
Yeah, and. I know I'm talking about giving my MVPs to people giving the drama, but I would argue that she did bring drama in, you know, just not handing Whitney a job. So, you know, we're waiting with bated breath. And now we got to hold our breath because we're about to enter the Jabron Zone.
Jabroni, J-A-B-R-O-N-I, X-Y-Z, A-B-C. Oh, it doesn't matter how you spell jabroni.
Okay, you can keep saying that and make yourself think you're a good person, but you're a bad person.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Who was the baddest person of the episode?
This is tough. This is tough. Who's bad?
Who was bad?
I'm gonna give it to Intern Emily as well.
What? Whoa! This is very pure. Confusing me right now.
Jabroni!
I just think she was also playing the way they portrayed her as a villain, I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And she played it well. She always had she always has this face on.
Right.
And I didn't really like that.
All right.
Like, she was better than Whitney and Elsie, and I didn't appreciate that.
All right. I'll buy that. I'll buy that argument. And you know what? To that point, I was going to give it to Spencer. But to that point, I'm going to go off screen, break the fourth wall here.
Fourth. Anno and Tor.
No. I'm going to say, I'm going to flush down the editing team. My show, I'll do what I want.
Jabroni!
For the way they did portray Emily, which I think was unfair, and didn't really add too much drama because there was absolutely no payoff. Like, if there was a payoff where she was actually, like, you know, maybe they caught her on a hot mic, like, whispering to Heidi, or, like, if they, like, caught her, like, setting up a grease trap on the third step, like, that would have been amazing. High drama.
See her, like, put some grease on, like, paint it.
Yeah, it'll whoop, 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 just fall. But no, none of that. So I'm blaming them. And now, any final thoughts on the episode before we move on?
No, nothing.
All right, here we go. Trivia time.
It's trivia time.
Five questions. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about March 26, 2007. You are currently leading 24-23.
Allegedly.
You got a lot of hard questions coming at you. Are you ready?
No, but let's do it.
All right. Question number one. The U.S. military concluded that high-ranking Army officers had made critical errors in reporting the friendly fire death of Army Ranger Blank in Afghanistan, but that there was no criminal wrongdoings in the shooting of this former NFL star by fellow soldiers. Who is this person who is highly celebrated across the NFL?
I knew it was him. I have no idea what his name is. I know he played for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
I can see his face.
Yep.
I have no idea. Chris something.
I'm just gonna take Pat Tillman.
Pat Tillman.
R.I.P.
Next question.
It's crazy that we... Never mind. Question number two. This song was on the top Billboard charts on this date. It was the number one. It was one of Fergie's hits featuring Ludacris. The song was Bewitching. B to the E to the W to the I to the T to the C to the H to the ing. What was the song?
I don't know. Fergie, you said?
Yeah, it's a Fergie song.
Black Eyed Peas, Fergie?
No, Post.
Yeah, but like that same for Josh Duhamel's wife.
Yes, ex-wife.
Ex-wife. Ooh, spicy.
You didn't know that? That's recent,
no.
Man.
Oh, nope.
No. 2017.
I don't. London Bridge?
Ooh, good guess. It's Glamour.
Oh, I thought that was Glamorous. I thought that was a Gwen Stefani song. I was going
to
say Glamorous.
G to the L.
Yeah,
to the
A. Okay.
O-U-S, glamorous.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was, dang. Okay, whatever.
All right. 0 for 2. Question number 3. Are you ready?
Yes.
This very famous Instagram star turned 3 years old on this date.
Wow.
At this age, no one was going to cash her outside. How about that? Who is this person?
I don't know these people's names. Does cash her outside girl count? I'm pretty sure that's her legal name, though.
It's not, man. It's Danielle Bregoli.
Totally. I would never have guessed that in a million years.
She's so famous, man. She's got a rap career.
I know, but I know her as Casher Outside Girl.
Oh, well, you gotta get on that. She is currently 14 years old and dropped out of 7th grade.
They said millennials are problematic.
Crazy, man. All right, 0 for 3. Question number 4. Hopefully you get this one if you're good with... Are you good with states and countries?
Maybe. Depends. Right. Is it like about the states I lived in? Because I know those. But let's
go. It's about independence.
Oh, dear.
Not sure how much you know about countries, but I actually wrote that. But on this day, Independence Day and National Day are celebrated in this country. This country declared independence from Pakistan in 1971. What is this country?
1971 from Pakistan?
Yeah, obviously you're usually pretty India. Good about these.
Obviously not India. What's near Pakistan? Is it India? Pakistan? Is it Bangladesh?
It is Bangladesh.
Yeah. I don't know Cash Me Outside Girl, but I know my...
Yeah, you're good. You're usually good with these like countries.
Yeah. All right, nerd one for, alert.
Yeah, 1 for 4.
Nice.
All right, on to question number 5. All right. On this day, we mourn the loss of this famous rapper who died on March 26, 1995. He is known for founding Ruthless Records and being part of N.W.A. He can be seen on the mountain in Bone Thugs and Harmony's song Crossroads. It ain't easy making it in this business. Who is this rapper?
Again, I see his face. Wait, am I overthinking this?
No,
probably not. It's because it's definitely not Biggie or Tupac. And no. NWA, so West Coast, so that's LA. Or no, Bay. That's Bay, right? NWA is Bay. Because that's Ice Cube?
Yeah, Ice Cube is in NWA, but he's not dead.
Yes, I know. Yes, and he's like hilarious now. something dog, I don't know. Dang.
Easy.
There you go.
All right. I thought you were a Bone Thugs and Harmony fan. I guess not.
Nope. I mean, I know Crossroads, and I don't know any of the words except Crossroads because they rap too fast. Hey, at least I know Bangladesh.
There you go.
All right, 1 point. Sorry showing for me. So you did come. See, you at least you came through with like reasonable questions, but like just
not your wheelhouse.
Yeah, you knew my weak spots. Fergie songs
and Instagram and famous Instagram people. Stars. Only 15 and under.
Yeah, you, everyone will know if they look at who I follow on Instagram, it's just dogs and dogs and pigs, aka my ex-girlfriends. Ew. JK, with all due respect. All right, any recommendations to give the good people?
In honor of this show possibly coming back to as a TV show, I'm going to recommend the Mighty Ducks trilogy.
Oh.
The greatest trilogy to ever be, you know, put on cinematic screens.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out.
I feel like this is the second time you might have recommended like D2 or something. But hey, always a good one.
Just keep it back.
Cosign. And for my recommendation for any hoop fans out there, I'm going to recommend I think it's an internet show. I've only seen it on the internet, but it's called Buckets. It's an ESPN thing. Just good takes on the NBA in a fun way. This week or today, they had BJ Armstrong, who claims that he can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one now, because he said Michael Jordan's getting... He was like, literally, the only reason why I still work out is I'm hoping I can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. And he's like, that's a good dream. Yeah, he was like, I think today's the day. He was like, I just want to like die to be able to tell everyone that I was able to beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. But yeah, it's good stuff for any NBA fans, worth a listen. All right, let's ride off into the sunset here. We are over time, but we got to let the good people know how to keep in touch with us.
Hey, you guys, as always, you can find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Send us anything. Check out our website at comingcleanpod.xyz. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/comingcleanpod. You can send us an email at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Products, Stitcher, Google
Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Did I write products?
Nope. Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, not products. Grab some merch at www.teespring.com/stores/comingcleanpod. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and tell all our friends about this podcast. Thanks to Radical Something. That's your line.
Thank you to the Radical Something, as always, for our theme song, Kelly Get Down. Always remember, what do the good people have to do?
Always rep the rad.
Worldwide peace.